Moto Casino, American Social Casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, American Social Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
¿Quieres mejor internet? Cox Internet de 300 megas tiene las velocidades rápidas y confiables que buscas. Perfecto para streaming y gaming y trabajar desde casa. Todo por solo $45 al mes cuando agregas Cox Mobile. Incluye equipo de Wi-Fi y garantía de precio de 2 años en tu plan. No esperes. Cámbiate hoy a Cox. Requiere Cox Mobile Gig Unlimited. Garantía de precio no incluye impuestos y cargos. Velocidad de datos móviles se reduce después de 20 gigas al mes.
Hello, everybody. Good morning. Welcome to the United Stands. I'm Mark Goldbridge, and this is your latest Manchester United news and transfer news and big updates coming in from Fabrizio Romano around two midfielders. Two big updates. We'll be talking about that. There's a little bit around the manager as well. Apparently, Nagelsmann is getting closer to the job than Carrick. I don't believe that. I really don't. We'll talk about that. Also, let's not forget, debate and conversation is the forefront of what this channel has been built on and will always be built on, despite what people believe. There is definitely a debate around Michael Carrick. And if people want to respect both sides like I do, welcome. If you don't, why are you so nervous? You cannot argue with the fact that results-wise, we're top of the league since Carrick came in. You can't. Based on when Carrick came in to today, Man United would be top of the league for points accumulated on results. There is a definitive argument about results. There is also a definitive argument about how crap the football is. And we'll talk about that as well. And you have a decision to make. But more importantly, the club has a decision to be made. And also, as Four says this morning, all those in the live chat complaining after winning away and securing top four is crazy. Are you wrong to complain about the football and the potential manager appointment of Michael Carrick when we've got top four and won the game? I actually don't think you are. I think that's called standards. I think it's being fearful of what's to come next season. I think it's about having your eyes wide open and saying we're walking straight into a very obvious mistake that's going to set us back 3 years. But some people think we shouldn't complain. We're going to get Champions League football. We're winning games. We should just shut up and get on with it and trust the board. And that sentence in itself makes me not trust the board. Anyway, before we get into all of that, I want to hit into some of the stuff that's come out from Fabrizio Romano this morning. And hopefully everybody's in a good mood this morning. I'm slightly early this morning because I've got a football match to go to for Seb. But normally live at 10, of course. But you know what? I had a good night's sleep. I think that the result was more important than the performance. And the performance wasn't very good. I heard what Leon Rosinha said. I've seen Luke Shaw. I mean, look. All the players doing pictures of Garnacho. So what? You know, this is exactly what they do. We win a game of football, no matter how good we play, they're on Instagram. They've got to grab it because, you know, they've won a game of football. I ain't got a problem with any of that. I took the piss out of Garnacho last night. The point is, we won a game of football and we put ourselves 10 points clear of sixth. That's it. That's what we did. And I'm very, very happy about that. Right, let's get into some of the news. So, first and foremost, let's talk about Fabrizio Romano. I can't get my bloody words out this morning. I had a great sleep and I can't talk properly. I think I've had a bloody breakdown or something in my sleep. So these are coming in from Fabrizio Romano this morning. One is in relation to Elliot Anderson and one is in relation to, surprise, surprise, Cilla Black, Edison at Atalanta. So both from the words and the mouth of Fabrizio Romano. First and foremost, Man United are not giving up on Elliot Anderson. They remain in the conversation. They know City began planning to sign the player a long time ago. United believe offering Champions League football to the player could be important to try to get closer to Man City in the race. Now, look, that is positive in the sense that we're not giving up, but it definitely sounds like you know, if this was like a marriage proposal and it's the girl of your life or whatever, right? This sounds to me like they've been going out on loads of dates and they're really happy with the person they're with, but they've smiled at you. And you've gone, we're not giving up. We're not giving up. I'm going to ask him out on a date. It feels like we've not given up, but we accept that Man City are way ahead of us. And I think that what I would say is that even on the update from Romano, they remain in the conversation, but they know Manchester City began planning to sign the player a long time ago. Hold on a minute. From one of the number one transfer experts in the world, he is saying that Man United are behind Man City because Man City began planning to sign the player a long time ago. Correct me if I'm wrong, Man United started briefing about Elliot Anderson being their number one priority in September. So you're telling me we've briefed he's a priority, but we actually haven't done any work on it and Man City are ahead of us? Because that's how that reads to me. City began planning to sign him a long time ago. So City began advanced talks a long time ago and we have gone and sort of said we're interested, but we're waiting on Champions League football. That's what it reads to me. It reads to me like Man City have done a lot of work on this player for a very long time and we've gone, we are interested, we just need to get Champions League football first. And now that we think we've got Champions League football, we're going, hey, we've got Champions League football. But why have we not put the work in on a player that we've very clearly been briefing is our priority for 9 months? Why have we not had advanced talks? I've got an idea, right? Instead of letting Man City have advanced talks with Anderson and tell him everything he wants, why not actually have talks with him as well and say, look, we believe we're getting Champions League football. We want you in our team. These are the terms. This is what it's going to be. And he can go, yeah, but you've not got Champions League football yet. And you can go, yeah, but we're going to get it. Watch this space. We're going to get it. You bluff, right? Because if you don't get Champions League football, you can just go, sorry, Elliot, we didn't get it. We're out, right? Nothing ventured, nothing gained. But if you do get it and you've said, well, we're not going to talk to you until we've got it, it just sounds like you don't believe you're going to get it. It doesn't sound very ambitious and you allow Man City to get ahead of you. So, look, stranger things can happen. I've never given up on Elliot Anderson to Manchester United, but it does sound, even from that update, that we're still behind Manchester City. And I just don't know how we've allowed that to happen. Man City are hard enough to beat with the money they can offer and the status they can offer and the players they've already got. They're probably going to win the league next year. So it's very hard to compete with Manchester City. But to compete with them, you've got to get at the front. I said this a few weeks ago. United need to get their arms out and push themselves to the front of the queue because we can't wait for Champions League football to start talking to people. It's just not the way players react as well. Players don't sit there going, oh, it's completely fine. I'll wait to talk to you until you've sorted the Champions League out. You know, that's not how players aren't like that. Players want to be wined and dined. Not literally. They don't want to drink. They're the footballers. But they want to feel like they're wanted. And it just sounds like United have gone a little bit like, we're just going to wait and see what happens. It's almost like we're behaving like a football club that we're not anymore. We're going to wait and see what our situation is. And then we're going to pick the phone up and we're Man United. So you should just run up the M6. We've not been that club for a very long time. So look, we'll wait and see what happens. It's positive that we're still in it. I wouldn't rule it out completely, but it still sounds to me like Man City are way, way ahead. Interestingly as well, this morning did catch my eye. Edison. Now, Edison has been linked to us a little bit. Ben Jacobs has mentioned it. Other people have mentioned it, but when Fabrizio Romano mentions it, and of course he is Italian, he is one of the best transfer experts in the world when it comes to football, he said this: guys, keep an eye out on another player, and that name is Edison, the Brazilian midfielder from Atalanta, because what's happening with Edison is that Atletico Madrid have an agreement with the player on personal terms since February, March, but at the moment, Atletico are not willing to pay what Atalanta want for Edison. Atalanta are starting at 45 million euros, but that could be negotiated to around 40 million euros, something around that. But negotiating with Atalanta is never easy for any club. Now, 40 million euros is...
Hi, Uncle Laser here. America's built on fast cars, fast food, and even faster women. Photo Casino's built in America. You know what they're fast at? Fast cash prize redemption. You see, only Moto is U.S. owned and operated. Moto, it's American made. That's who we are, and that's who we care about. Play for free at Moto.us.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Quite expensive for a La Liga club. But for a Premier League club, this is the sort of signing that Brentford can make quite comfortably. We're talking below £40 million for a midfielder who Atletico Madrid want. So, and then he says, I understand Premier League clubs are also calling for Ederson. So if Atalanta and Atletico Madrid are not able to close this deal for the Brazilian midfielder, keep an eye on the situation with Premier League clubs, because remember, Man United were tracking him when Amrin was the coach, and he's been appreciated by people at that club for a long time. Let's see if Man United decide to return on this one. But Ederson could be an attractive opportunity because he's out of contract in a year. And he's not on a crazy salary, so the salary could be a factor financially as well. You get a very good player on a normal price in terms of the full package of transfer fee and wages and commission, but Atalanta are insisting on €45 million. So Premier League clubs also calling and attentive to the situation for Anderson after Atletico Madrid have not reached an agreement with Atalanta. So look, it is an interesting one. I mean, I've got to be honest, I don't know what you think. I haven't really kept an eye on Ederson at Atalanta for a long time. I haven't really kept an eye on Italian football this year. 26. He'll be 27 this summer. He doesn't actually get picked for Brazil. I don't know why he doesn't get picked for Brazil, because I don't rate Brazil's midfield. So he doesn't get picked for Brazil. So it's not something you'd need to worry about in relation to the World Cup. But look, I think it's what it is a very cheap, interesting deal in an area where we don't know what's happening. And what I mean by that is, if we don't get Anderson and we don't get Wharton and we're not getting Tonali and we're not getting Bruno Guimarães, then that type of a midfielder, unfortunately or fortunately, does become enticing, because we need to buy two or three midfielders. I mean, it was abundantly clear yesterday. Mainoo played well. Mainoo is the future. Casemiro won't be here, and there is nobody else. There is nobody else. So even if Mainoo continues to grow, and I'm sure he will do, and become an important part of our future, you're playing twice a week with Mainoo. You need at least another three midfielders. So I think that you do actually have to look at experience, price, wage, in the sense that getting three... This is why João Gomes at Wolves is interesting to me, because, again, he's probably the same age profile of Ederson. He's probably a similar player to Ederson, but he's also going to be a similar price and a similar salary. So, look, the more half-decent or decent, whatever you want to call it, midfielders that join the conversation for Man United, the better. I don't know whether you saw the watch along last night. I was talking about Baleba. Didn't get a minute for Brighton yesterday, who obviously got a very good point in the end against Spurs, but didn't even get a minute despite injuries, substitutions. Didn't get a minute. Hasn't been starting games pretty much since January. Can't get in the team. Gets benched for people like Gross, Ayala, and Milner. United worry me enough about their tunnel vision around the manager without doing it with the midfield. The combination of taking a risk on Carrick and taking a risk on Baleba is footballing stupidity. You can't take a risk on both. So if you're going for Carrick, you can't go for Baleba. And if you go for Baleba, you can't go for Carrick. You just can't do both of those. They are massive risks in the footballing world for very, very different reasons. So I want to see... I mean, look at Bournemouth yesterday. What a result for Bournemouth yesterday. No doubt Truffert and Scott played brilliant. I haven't seen it yet, but no doubt they played brilliant. You could even say about their manager. I mean, seriously, actually, let me just run a poll on this. I'd love to know. I know we did it the other day. Carrick or Iriola? I've said my piece on Iriola, right? I've said my piece. I just think it's a big step to take the Manchester United job. I really, really do. But they are unbeaten. They've got the best unbeaten record in Europe. And they play good football. And they've been to Newcastle. And they've been to their last three games, Man United, Arsenal away, Newcastle away. They've taken 7 points. They've got the longest unbeaten record in Europe. They do play good football. I'm sort of thinking, is it wrong? And he's free. He's free as well. Is it wrong to discard a manager because it's a big step up from Bournemouth to Manchester United? And I'm sort of like, I don't necessarily know if I've got the answer to that, but they play really good football, and he's available, and he's definitely a better coach than Carrick. I don't want Iriola. I want Nagelsmann. I want an experienced coach that's managed in the Champions League. That's what I want. What I find funny is that we've got, like, what I find funny about the conversation, waking up to it this morning, there's almost like a collection of opinions on people, and they're going, they're saying things like this: Man United are top of the league on points accumulated since Carrick came in. Great. We've always said it's results against performance. If you want to be, you know, giving the job out because of results, then the results have been very good. If you want to give the job out on a future project around performance, then I think that's where the feel is. I've seen people saying, you know, players are willing to take pay cuts to be part of this project. What players are taking a pay cut to be part of this project? Andy Mitten said that Maguire hasn't taken a pay cut, if that's what we're talking about. So I don't know where that's starting from. Some people are saying, well, you know, he hasn't had a transfer window, and he might play a different style of football when we give him the job. Great. So we're actually going to give him the job on a punt, on the case that he might play better football next year. Incredible. So you could go for Iriola, you could go for Nagelsmann, who you know how they're going to play, but let's go with Carrick because he might play a different brand of football next year. Might. So we're giving the job to someone who might play a different brand of football. Surely when we went with Ten Hag and Amrin, we knew what they were going to try and do. It didn't work, but we knew what they were going to try and do. Surely you've got to give a manager a job who you know what they're going to try and do. And also, I don't think Carrick's going to do anything different next year. 3 years under Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, he played Solskjaer ball as his assistant coach. Steve Holland, 6 years under Southgate, played a brand of football that we're seeing at Man United now. So I don't think we're going to see a different brand of football. I think that's complete and utter nonsense. So I think that... And also what I would say as well, and I will call this out. For 6 months, all we ever heard from the media and the ex-players and some fans was... Amrin needs to change his formation. Amrin needs to change his formation. Amrin needs to change his formation. Every day. That's all we ever heard. He needs to change his formation. He needs to change his formation. For the last 2 months, we played pretty crap. Ahmad's got worse. Embuemo's got worse. Cunha's got worse. I don't hear anything about formation. I don't hear anything about style of football. It suddenly doesn't, you know, formation and style of football doesn't matter anymore. It's about the results. And the results haven't even been that good. I mean, yesterday was good, but they haven't been that good. So I think the conversation is basically bias. It's bias. We have a bias towards giving it to Carrick because he's an ex-player and he's British, because the same people were saying very different things 6 months ago about how we need to change the style of football, how United have to play a certain brand of football. And now it doesn't matter anymore. Results don't matter. I mean, we're literally Arsenal. You look at our goals that we score, they're very Bruno-centric or set-piece-centric. You know, the football's not that been that good. So I don't really know what people want in relation to the manager, which is why I posed the question about Iriola or Carrick. 65% of you would go with Iriola. 35% of you would go with Carrick. I just think the conversation is a grown-up conversation. It's about, do you track Champions League qualification and results, or do you track performance and vision? Or are you in the middle? Like, some people are like, I just want to give him the job because the results have been good. Some people are like, I don't want to give him the job because I don't trust these performances next season. When the going gets tough, there's no experience there and I don't trust these players. These players are going to get a 10% pay rise, right? They're running around Instagram like the bloody Rod Stewart. I mean, ultimately, the performances aren't that good. The results are good, but the performances aren't that good, and we're trusting these players next season. I mean, Luke Shaw's putting out a picture on Instagram for 500,000 likes of him and Garnacho. It's been shit for weeks. But everyone's like, oh, Luke Shaw. He's shit. He's absolutely shit as a left back. If he's playing next season, we're in big trouble. But, you know, we beat Chelsea 1-0 and Garnacho gets absolutely rinsed. And it's suddenly like all these players are great again. But they're not. And I'm not taking anything away from taking the piss out of Garnacho, because I did it last night. I ain't got a problem with that. Delo did it. Bruno did it. Luke Shaw's done it. Absolutely fine. But that's what I'm saying about the conversation. Like, we should celebrate winning and we should take the piss out of Garnacho and we should all be happy this morning. But is there a long-term vision, or are we just going to live in the now and go game to game, result to result? Because I think next season, there's a very big chance that we're going to end up with people saying, I told you so. The doubters now are going to get proved right in it next season, I think. I think we're walking eyes open into a very, very, very bad season next season. I think we are. I don't trust this board. I don't think they're making the moves they need to make. And I think they're making cheap moves to try and scam it next season. And this season has, from a board level, been, trust me, bro, like the sacking of Amrim halfway through the season, they got lucky. They got lucky. Apparently, we are, and let me just read this, because I don't want to say some stuff that's not accurate, but we did get lucky. We didn't buy a midfielder and, you know, they've got away with it. They've got away with it, effectively. And there are some people out there saying, oh, everybody said we needed to buy a midfielder. I think we did need to buy a midfielder. I think we absolutely did. We did need to buy a midfielder. And they've got away with it. They didn't buy anyone in January. They've got away with it. They sacked Amrim in January and they've got away with it. And I think next season they're going to do the same. I think they're not going to bring the players in they need to bring in. They're going to go for the cheapest option as the manager and they think that's progress. And everything in the last 2 years from this board has been, trust me, bro. And most of the time it hasn't worked. But the interesting thing is, you know, let me just delve into some stats here, because I think that when we're talking about why I don't want to give Carrick the job, it is... there is detail to it. Like, it's not... I have a huge respect for Carrick as a player. Don't know him personally, obviously. Don't know what he's like. Could be an arsehole. Could be a, you know, really nice guy. Doesn't really matter. But as a player, very intelligent, very underrated. And I would imagine his grasp of the game is pretty good. Which is why it's so disappointing how we've been playing. Because I would have thought a player of his... intelligence and ability would play a different brand of football, which has been a little bit disappointing. But when Amrim left, we were 11 on points with fifth place Chelsea, and we were 17 points behind Arsenal. We were creating the most goal scoring chances behind in the league, and we had the highest conversion. We're now 15 points behind Arsenal. So people talk about being third. We were 17 points behind Arsenal when Amrim got sacked, and we're 15 points behind Arsenal now. So there is, like, you can have this conversation. And I feel like if you're concerned about giving the job to Carrick, you're almost being shouted at by the people who want to give it to Carrick as if, like, we're the problem. And there is a conversation the other way. I don't mind people in this chat or externally wanting to give the job to Carrick, but I don't find much substance beyond results. I don't. And they get very aggressive. Have you ever found, if you have a conversation with someone who wants to give it to Carrick, they get very aggressive very, very quickly if you say, but what is there beyond results? And how sustainable are these results? I mean, how similar is this to Solskjaer? Like, that's what I'm saying. Beyond all Ollie had really was results. Like, when it came down to it, the tactics weren't there and it gradually got worse. What is it about Carrick other than results? And you'll get shouted at, you're negative, you're moaning, this, that and the other. But listen to this, right? Let's look at Man United's last five games and let's look at Amrim's last five games. Now, considering Amrim's last five games was the lead up to him being sacked, and considering Carrick's last five games are off the back of really good results and he's trying to get the job, our average possession across the last five games with Michael Carrick has been 41% against Chelsea, 47% against Leeds, 45% against Bournemouth, 52% against Villa, and 54% against Newcastle, who had 10 men. So our average possession in the last five games is 47% for Manchester United. 47% in the last five games is our possession, average, yeah? And one of them was against 10 men for over 45 minutes. We average 13.6 shots per game and we have 5.4 on target. So 47% possession, 13.6 shots per game and 5.4 shots on target on the last five games. Amrim, Leeds 55%, Wolves 56%, Newcastle 33%, Villa 57%, Bournemouth 57%. 52% possession for Amrim in his last five games compared to Carrick's 47%. 16 shots on average in his last five games compared to Carrick's 13.6 and the same 5.4 shots on target, right? Now, let's not forget, in Amrim's last five games, there was no Bruno, there was no Mbeumo, and there was no Ahmad. So, let's have the conversation, because stats don't lie. United's football isn't very good. Now, I'm not saying Amrim's football is good. I'm using the example because that was the last five games before Amrim got sacked. I don't know what the five games before that. It might have been more.
Moro Casino. America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
But what I'm saying is, in the lead up to Amrim getting sacked, we were having more shots and way more possession. And that was with no Mbeumo, Ahmad and Bruno. So the results are good, but the football is bad. And the football we're getting is... And look, I must apologise. I have said before that Steve Holland is a shit coach. He's not a shit coach. Like, he's clearly not a shit coach. Like, we've had some good results at United. He was at Chelsea. England got to two Euros finals and a World Cup semi-final twice, I think. So he's not a shit coach. But he is a very easy to identify coach in the sense that he plays quite boring negative football, which I don't like, and I call it shit. It's not shit coaching. It's not. It's unfair to say that. He's not a shit coach. The football is not good to watch. And all season, Arsenal had been ridiculed for being top of the league and playing bad football. And suddenly, at United, that's something we want to commit to for the next 3 years. And it worries me because I don't think that a team that is factually not playing good... I mean, look, you can't lie. We don't average 50% possession. So under Michael Carrick and Steve Holland... Half of the time, we haven't got the ball. Factually, half of the time, we don't have the ball. Less than that. We're creating less chances, we're less intense, and we don't have as much as the ball. Now, I'm not saying bring Amrim back or don't sack Amrim. What I'm saying is, do we want this for the next 3 years? Low possession, counter-attacking football, less chances created. It's literally what we did under Ollie. And people want to sign up to that. If you do, fine. My point is, some of us are very worried about that. And as fans, we should look into that and make a calculated decision. I just don't know whether the board are. Are the board in possession of those stats that we're gradually getting worse, we're gradually giving up more of the ball, we're gradually creating less chances from where we were when we sacked the last manager? If we just want to focus on being compact, relying on Bruno and set pieces and scraping results for the next 3 years, well, it's just not Man United, is it? But if the club are going to make that decision, don't pretend you didn't know now. I just want the club to make the decision knowing the facts. That's all I want. And I want you as fans to make your decision knowing the facts. Don't tell us... You want Carrick and Holland based on a bright future of great football and entertaining football and high-scoring games, because there is no evidence that's going to happen. If you want Carrick, then it might be because the results are good and you want an ex-player in charge, or you believe it's going to work out in the end. Those reasons are absolutely valid, and you should stick to those if that's what you believe. I think what some of us are doing is, behind the results, there's a very, very scary truth. We're not playing good football, and we haven't done for a long time. We don't create as many chances. We're not as intense. We looked very tired yesterday, and we don't have a lot of the ball, and it's not great to watch. How sustainable is that going to be next season when we've got to double up our workload as well? Are things going to get better, or are they going to get worse? They might get better. Who knows? And also, I haven't even brought this in,
how reliant are we on Bruno Fernandes? You go back through the last few weeks, how many goals have been scored from across from Bruno to Casemiro or Maguire? How many goals have been scored because of Bruno's brilliance? I mean, has anybody ever actually thought, and I don't know why people don't do it because he's not the quickest player in the world, if somebody man-marked Bruno Fernandes, what happens to Man United? You know? And I thought about it this morning in the shower. I thought, nobody will do it to a Man United player because they probably don't respect us enough. But if you actually man-marked Bruno Fernandes, like, what, or he gets injured, what happens, you know? So look, I think the manager debate will continue on and on. What I want to see is United making moves in the transfer market because we've basically got Champions League football now. But don't let people, like, shout you down on your opinion. If you want Carrick, absolutely fine, tell us why. If you don't, in fact, I think on the 8 o'clock show tonight, we should have a big debate about it. So there you go. You've got a whole day to think about the you know, I would enjoy that. Let's do that at 8 o'clock. I mean, there's probably going to be other stuff to talk about, but let's do that because I think it's really important to understand where the fan base is on it. Alwaz is a bit of a prat because he's saying, where was the intensity under Amrin? You see, this is the problem again with the people that want to give it to Carrick. They can't move past Amrin. They're like, well, he's better than Amrin, but Amrin's been sacked. That's in the past. No one's bringing Amrin back. We're trying to build future. So why do you keep going back to Amrin? What I'm saying is, in Amrin's last five games, he created more chances and had way more possession. What we're talking about is that Carrick's football is boring. And people take the piss out of Arsenal for it, but he's an interim coach. He's not even got a contract yet, and some people want to give that style of football a contract. Don't be a bloody hypocrite. Apparently Arsenal are boring and everyone takes the piss out of them, but then we want to sign up to it here. And we were more intense under Amrin. It's been proven. The Athletic did a piece about 2 weeks ago. We were more intense under Amrin, and you can see it with your eyes. That is not about keeping Amrin. That is about how good is this coaching setup we have now, and do you want to commit to that for 3 years? That's the question. It's not about going back to Amrin. It's about, do you want to commit to a coach whose style of football is lacking intensity, lacking possession, not creating as many chances, and arguably quite boring? I mean, look, I am never going to criticise that result last night. I thought it was a brilliant result. But the amount of people this morning that are moaning about it. How would you rate Nagelsmann in terms of his coaching defensively, says Aljit? I mean, I'm not here to talk about Nagelsmann in great depth on a morning show, but tactically adaptable, numerous clubs proven. Amrin's results were poor, but Carrick feels like the definition of better to be born lucky than rather good. The systematic issues at the club are still there. There's a huge amount of work to do, says Patrick. Good enough is not good enough, says Keel Robinson. I do not want to be Spurs next season. They chose a manager who did not have the right experience, who was beholden to the dressing room, did not recruit the players, and it may cost them Premier League football, says Emily. I don't think we'd be Spurs next season, Emily, but the warning sign is fair. I think we'll be Newcastle next season. I think we'll be mid-table. And also, let's take a best case scenario. Let's say United finish fourth for the next 3 years under Carrick, but we play like this. You won't be happy. People won't be happy with fourth place playing like this. There are people out there saying they will. You will not be happy finishing fourth playing like this next season. You won't. Absolutely won't. Man United fans ain't about that. We don't just do fourth playing boring football. It won't happen. If Pep stays, would you try and get Maresca? He may wait for City, but is it negligent to not try? Jacob says he wants a big club, says Red Devil Girl. I'm not sure on Maresca, really. If Bruno worth more now than last summer, says Veghorse. Hi, Mark. Can you say happy birthday to my mum, Kush? Happy birthday. Respect and a good relationship with the manager is great, but I also think that you have to fear the man in charge. Carrick doesn't have that. Plus, we have a lot of luck in the last few games, says Double D. Thank you, mate. Hope you're doing well. I agree with you completely. The managerial question is definitely a problem when recruiting players. Who we get as manager is a signal of how ambitious we are to players, says Patrick. Look, I think some people think you can't not give it to Carrick because he's got Champions League football. You bloody well can. You can. That excuse is terrible. Like, you can't give it to Carrick just because he got Champions League football. Well, that works both ways. But what I'm saying is, some people think Carrick has to be given the job because he's got his Champions League football. Absolutely not. The big clubs do this all the time. You don't have to give it to an interim. There's plenty of reasons why you don't need to give it to an interim. As long as Carrick goes and gets a job elsewhere, which he would, you don't need to give it to him. You don't. I think they will. I'm absolutely convinced they're going to give him the job, by the way. I'm absolutely convinced. And when they do, I will back him. I would just be very, very concerned. But they will give him the job. Of course they're going to give him the job. But they don't have to give him the job. I think the braver decision is not to, to be honest with you. Okay, thank you everybody for watching. I've got to go and watch some football. Take care, stay safe. Big afternoon on the That's Football. We've got Liverpool, Everton, and we've also got a massive game between Arsenal and Man City. So I'll see you on That's Football for that. Absolute legends for tuning in live this morning. Get your comments in as always. Big, big debate show tonight at 8 o'clock. Then we'll get into this whole, you know, I want to hear more from what you lot. I want the 8 o'clock show tonight to be about you lot and what you want. I really want to get into the comments about the manager, why you do want him, why you don't want him, why you sat on the fence. Let's get more into that. And what a great way to end the show. Mojo's just gifted 50 memberships. The legend of the chat, delivering to the legends. Thank you everybody for watching. Stay safe. I'll speak to you on the next one.
Moro Casino. America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.